It is good to be back here this evening in God's house. Thank you for being here with us. It's good to have Pastor Parker here visiting with us. Thank you, sir, from Arkansas, doing some insurance adjusting for our folks here in Florida. If you all pray for his safety as he climbs up and down on top of buildings and looks around and tries to help folks get things back to normal. Don't forget this coming week, Wednesday evening, the Bible clubs at 6:30 in the Discovery Building over here, and then the youth room over here at 6:30, our Bible clubs and our midweek prayer meeting time at 7 o'clock. Mark chapter number 13 again this evening. We'll continue our studies through the Word of God. verse by verse and chapter by chapter as we go through the book of Mark. I've really enjoyed this study, and I hope you have as well. Mark 13. And we let off last week verses 9 and 10. Mark 13. Remind you a little bit up to this point. This is what's known as the Olivet Discourse. The collating passages are found in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. It is and can be a very difficult passage of Scripture to grasp and understand. But I personally ask myself a couple of questions, and to me, the whole chapter is talking about the nation of Israel. It's asked by men of Jewish descent in a Jewish context, a Jewish city outside the temple. And I think that helps us along to grasp and understand what we are looking at. Of course, verses 1 through 4 was the occasion of the prophecy, sitting outside of the temple, looking around down at the buildings, and the disciples was astonished by the architectural contents of the building. And then, of course, Jesus said all this would be tore up and destroyed. And in verses 5 through 27, as we begin looking into those verses last week, we noticed that the content actually moved us almost right up into the tribulation time, if you was to study it and look at it. It does not, in my opinion, does not have anything to do with the rapture. The rapture, to me, is not mentioned in here because it is of Jewish and origin and content of that up to there. Now, there may be those that possibly, not possibly, those that may disagree with that and think that it is within that context, but I personally do not believe, as I've studied it, looked at it, and it's good to know that we have a God in heaven who knows and understands all things, and if I'm wrong on that, he'll certainly correct me when I get to heaven and say, shame on you. Teaching the church to watch, because isn't that the whole key? And we looked at it. We need to eagerly be watching for his return. If we are watching for his return, we will prepare for his return and return. We do not want to be caught unaware. I promise you that. We will be doing something, won't we, Brother Harry? We'll be doing something. And I tell you, I want to be doing something for the Lord whenever that trumpet does sound. I want to be busy for him. And it's very likely that if we're not careful watching and preparing, we could find ourselves in a backslidden state when he comes and calls us home for the rapture. But for me personally, I don't believe it is. But you'll notice here, as we got to verse number 10, as we start there this evening, he said, this is one of the passages that kind of throws people for a loop, because it says, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Well, how in the world is that going to happen? Well, there's going to be the gospel message here in the tribulation period. There will be scripture. There's scripture to point to that as we begin to look here in a moment. When we're talking about the end coming, you know, the end of the world, this is what they want. When is this going to be done with, and not the end for what we know as the church, the rapture of the saved here before the tribulation. If you have not caught on yet, I am and believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I don't believe I'm going to be here getting under this. God has saved me from wrath. And so I don't believe I'll be here during that time, but I do understand that evil men shall wax worse and worse, and we shall and have in the past suffered through persecution, and there will be persecution that still faces yet to come before the rapture, I promise you that. So, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So it will be some persecution, but I don't believe that I'll be here for what we term as the 7 years of great tribulation, as founded in the book of Daniel and so forth and so on. You say, so how is the gospel going to be preached? Well, there's several ways during the tribulation that God has prepared to get the gospel message out. And you said, well, Pastor, I've heard you say it, that people that have heard the gospel and had a chance to get saved here on this earth, that you believe that their conscience would be seared after the rapture, and they would believe a lie, and they would not be. I do believe that these left behind books it's good movies. It's good reading if you like to enjoy a little bit of fairy tale. But I'm telling you, if you've heard the gospel, you have sat under Bible preaching, and the gospel has been presented to you, and you reject Christ, I believe personally your conscience will be seared, and you'll believe a lie. You say, well, who would not have heard? There's people in the United States of America right now today don't know that Jesus saves. That is a shame, dear friend. That is a shame. And, you know, it is the truth that we are becoming more and more a secular, paganistic, humanistic type country. I know our foundation, but the Bible says everybody that forgets God shall be turned into hell. So we are forgetting God left and right. So if you would, go over to Revelation. So I'm going to show you a couple of places where God says the gospel message shall be preached during the tribulation time. You remember I told you that about the sorrows, the beginning of sorrows. We looked at that in verse 8. And the birth pains, and I kind of described how that works. And thank God that women give birth to children. Lord, have mercy. I get a little difficulty when I get an ulcer on my tongue or something. I can imagine. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. Revelation chapter 7, and verse number 4. And he said, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And in verse 5, it names the tribes, and verse 6, the same. Verse 7, it names some tribes. Verse 8, some tribes. And then look in verse number 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And so here they are. They're getting there. Now, this is just a little bit of a little small nugget. When you're talking to somebody that is of the Jehovah's Witness background, and they want to tell you that they are part of striving to be part of the 144,000, take them to this passage and ask them, which tribe of the nation of Israel do they belong to? Kind of generally stops the argument right there, because God names it. There's 144,000. They did grasp something from Scripture, but in the middle of their grasping, they've swerved and they've caused error to be found. So, and so there they are. Verse number 9, and then this they beheld, and lo, a great multitude of which no man could number, of the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation unto our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their face, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be unto our God, are forever and ever. Amen. Verse 13, And one of the elders answered and said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So there in the midst of the tribulation, you have 144,000 gospel preachers ordained by God that goes about, and in every corner, the four winds of the corners of the earth, kind of what the Bible reckons it to, and it's preaching the gospel, then we see multitudes that will come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And there, that's one instance there. Then if you would, go over to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. See, we have a very, very gracious God. This is during a time where He is taking those that are saved. He's caught them up and they're out of here, and yet He's still preaching the gospel. Still sending forth the herald message that Jesus saves, the Lamb of God. You're talking about mercy. You're talking about grace. Revelation chapter 11, not only do you have those 144,000, but in Revelation chapter 11, if you would, in verse number 3, Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, and I will give you power, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So now you have two more preachers preaching, witnessing it during this great time of tribulation. And we're going to look and we're going to see that unless God had shortened the days, even the elect, those that He has went to the very length of His mercy, would not even be saved if He hadn't shortened the days. So there's two. There's 144,000 preaching and people getting saved. Now you have, well, he says they're just prophesying. They're preaching. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we've got this all wrong if you think that I've got to just stand here in front of you and just preach to you the gospel message that Jesus died and rose again third, and that's it. That's all you got to hear. And you listen, I was convicted out of an Old Testament book going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. The Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Holy Spirit of God can take the Word of God in any portion, any passage, and bring conviction into your life. It's not the words we say, it's not the words that we particularly hear from the Bible. It is a needful thing, dear friend, to have Bible. Okay, I'll get you in a minute. It's a needful thing to have Bible, the Word of God, because it's the Word of God which brings faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word that works into us. Now listen, we need to have the gospel message, but it is not necessarily that's the only thing that has to be preached, that for people to be brought under conviction. Now people have to understand, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every last one of us stand before God guilty. Amen. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He lived a sinless life, born of a virgin. Did good everywhere he went. So that you and I might see a good, earnest picture of a servant, a sinless servant. But he was that atoning mediator, that atoning redemption, the atoning Lamb of God that laid down his life, slain. And we that put faith and trust in Christ's finished work and turn to God in repentance, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I am a sinner. Jesus said, whosoever believes with his heart, they shall be saved. So yes, you have to have the gospel, but the gospel message is not the only thing that brings conviction. The word of God brings conviction different. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. If it was not so, then God would have gave us the gospel message and little old baby panther said, that's all you need. But he gave us an entire Bible. What he wanted us to know, his mind. Matter of fact, Hebrews puts it like this. In the volume of the book, it speaks of Jesus. So as they're there, they're going to be preaching. They're going to be prophesying. Yes, the gospel message is going to go forth. So you have 144,000 during tribulation. You now have two witnesses that are preaching for 1,203 score days. And they're in sackcloth and they're out there preaching. And then, if you would, let's go over Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 6. And the Bible says here, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, to every kindred, and every tongue, and every people." So when you go back to verse 10, now we get to see, until the gospel is published or preached among all nations. Isn't it amazing how God does not let one iota or one jot or one tittle or one, whatever you call it, in the Word of God to just be for naught. It all has purpose when you compare Scripture with Scripture. And you look at this, and so even in the midst of the great tribulation, he's extending the call. Sending out 144,000, preaching the gospel, and folks get saved. He sends out two witnesses. And the Bible, if we was to study that out, Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, says that they could be seen from every place, every corner, every inch and square inch of the world. How's that so? Live stream video. Have you ever seen it? Happens, doesn't it? Happens. So we are living in the midst of prophecy. So, that's what we're seeing there. So, in my opinion, as we go back to Mark, and you look there, Mark chapter number 13 and verse 10, you're in the midst of the tribulation, and then there's the preaching of the Word of God. There, remember the question, when shall be the end? And he said, not until the not until the gospel has been preached and been spread and been gone across the world in every nation. Verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. And so we see there in Revelation how God goes about to convey that message around the world. And then you look there in verse number 11. Look at verse 11. But, so he goes back to the to them. But when they shall lead you, still speaking about the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Spirit is to help and to guide the Lord's people. Now this verse cannot and must never be used as an excuse not to study. Because that would contradict where the Bible says study to show yourself approved. So it's just telling you that there's going to be moments that you're going to be speechless. And I'm going to guarantee you, dear friend, at a time like this, at a time when this here days begin to ease upon the earth, they're going to be without words. You ever read over in the passage of Scripture where it says that even in our prayer right now, sometimes even in our prayer life, there's that we don't even know how to pray. We don't even have words. Had kids gone astray, grandkids get hurt, you had grandkids sick, you had aunts and uncles on deathbed, you had church members that you loved and been friends with for years, and then church, they've been sick, and you go to the Lord, and Lord, I don't even have words, but the Holy Ghost inside moans and groans and talks for us. So don't take this verse and whip it out of passage and swerve off in the left and say, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher, therefore I don't ever have to study. I'll just get into class, and we're not Quakers. We're Bible believers. If we listen, we've got to get to a point where the Bible is the central theme of everything we do. In every class, we got to get out of this where our feelings get involved, because feelings lead us astray. Emotions get involved. Well, I just don't like that. It makes me look foggy, and that's archaic, and it just don't feel right. We got to get out of that and say, what does the Bible say? The central, if our church, the central authority, central theme is Bible. Inside the Bible, the central theme is Jesus. I'm telling you, you cannot go wrong when you're surrounded about Jesus. You cannot. So the Holy Spirit's going to guide and direct, but he said, look, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Look at verse 12. Now, the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father to the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. There's going to be a great betrayal, a time of persecution among the nation of Israel. And you say, well, I don't know. Could that happen? Go back and study history. Even in history, underneath Hitler and Stalin, Jewish families turned over. Jewish family. It can happen here in the States. I remember years and years ago, dear friend, I don't know. I was still in the Army by then. By then, that's a good thing. I talk about the past, I'm talking about by then. So it must have been 1991. We was coming out of the commissary, and as we was coming out of the commissary, there was a table. Brother Ray would sit up there, and there was some folks passing out some goodies and things and that. They was only concentrating on children coming out, and they were passing out little things and give them to the kids. It was about school time. It was about starts. So it was pencils and erasers. It was, rulers, things of that nature. And when, I didn't think nothing about it. Got home and there it is. Looking at the thing that says, if you've been abused as a child, call 1-800. I'm not for child abuse. I'm not. There is a proper space and place and a time of temperament to put the put the hoop and whooping to the backside. I'm for it. Amen. If you're angry and you're... No, it's not time. Settle down, calm down, then get back to talking, then take care of the... Yes. Yes, that's a good word, Brother Jim. Discipline. There will be times of betrayal. We're living it now. You can call on your neighbor if you just are disgusted at their yard and say they are abusing their children. And guess what? Here they come. And they don't even tell them who called. So there is going to be a time. This is a difficult time. It's going to be a horrible time. Fathers turning over sons, sons on this. It is going to be a great time of betrayal. Look at verse number 13. Verse 13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now listen, this is talking about the nation of Israel. If you look at society as a whole, the world as a whole, there's a bunch of hatred right now for the apples of God's eye. I mean, there's, I've never in my life, if, for instance, the United States of America's president stood up and said, we need to blow the North Korean president up out of his bed with a nuclear bomb, the whole world would go crazy. But the Iranian president did the very same thing about the nation of Israel. And nothing was said. Zero. Zilch. So that's just a portion. Because you imagine they're hated now. How much more so? How much more so will the hatred come about? Look, would you with me, please? Hold your place there and look in John 15. John chapter 15. And verse number 20. John 15 and verse number 20. Gospel of John chapter number 15 and verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, this is Jesus speaking, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So Jesus warned that this would come, this would happen. It's no secret that this is going to happen. This is actually, if you go and read throughout the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, the Bible actually tells us to rejoice when men shall speak evil and use you as evil against you and to speak evil against you for his name's sake. So we need to make very sure and positive that our testimony is that is representative of Jesus Christ. Because people are going to talk. I don't remember who it was, but one of the presidents years ago, I believe, possibly was Abraham Lincoln, but I'm not positive on this, but one of the senators came or his associates came, maybe it was Lieutenant, the vice president came and said, well, they are saying, and he said, let they say. Because there's nothing you can do about people talking. Nothing. They're saying. Isn't it funny that they means maybe one person? How funny, you know, a group. It's kind of, you know, so they are saying, and I wish I could remember who said it. Anyways, people don't speak evil of us. Jesus warned them, if they're going to hate you, they're going to speak evil of you, they're going to talk bad about you. Look at verse 13 again as we finish. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. The tribulation saints that get saved here through all this, I believe that endure to the end of the tribulation shall be saved of physical death. And so, at this time, as you see that, the revelation that the 7 years of tribulation is going to end, and then we have what we call the revelation of Christ, where Christ actually comes back to the earth. And we're going to get into looking at that here in just a moment. So to me, in my opinion, is that's up to the first half of the tribulation. So let's continue on in verse 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judah flee in the mountaintops, and let him that is in the housetop go not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house, and let him that is in the field not turn again back again for them. For to take up his garments, but woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, and pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, and if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. So here I see a transition from the first half of the tribulation going into the second half. If you will, hold your place there. Let's flip back over into Daniel chapter 9. We'll get a picture of what Mark is talking about here as he writes down this portion of Scripture. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Daniel chapter 9 in the Old Testament and verse 27. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27, if you would there. And he says here, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now that 1 week is a week of years. So 7 days, 7 years there. "And in the midst of the week," in the midst of the week, "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." So there's a covenant that's going to be made with the Antichrist and the nation of Israel. They will start sacrificing again, and everything's going to be going good. There's going to be peace. There's going to be, oh, joy. Everything's going to be going fine. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of that week, he's going to break the covenant that he had with them, and he's going to cause the oblation to cease. And look what it says: "And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Look over in Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 11. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 11. Daniel 12, verse 11, the Bible says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away," so the covenant's in place, then it's going to be taken away, "and the abomination that maketh desolate sit up, there shall be 1,290 days." Now look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Flip over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. Second Thessalonians 2:4, the Bible says, "And who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." That's the abomination of desolation. Here's the Antichrist coming. He's breaking the covenant. He's sitting himself up. He said, "I am now God." And right in the midst, can you imagine the jealousy of God? The rage and jealousy of God at that moment. You remember somebody else tried that back in before time. Lucifer said, "I'll be as the Most High. I'll reign, I'll sit, I will be." 1/3 and himself of the angels was cast out of heaven. So the jealousy in the midst of this, the jealousy, the rage, the indignation, the wrath, the overspreading of the abomination. I mean, God's wrath just poured out. So if you were to study the book of Revelation, now you get an understanding of why the awfulness. Because God's a jealous God. He's not a God to be mocked and played with. So here he is. He's done given his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. Given us some odd 2,000 odd years. I don't know exactly the math, but 2,000 some odd years since Christ died on the cross of Calvary. The gospel has been preached and spread. Missionaries gone, missionaries come. Pastors and evangelists and churches started, churches closed, churches open. Preachers preaching for all these years. He calls us home, all the saved. And in the midst of that, he looked like a calm before. He allows 144,000 to preach. He allows two witnesses to preach And in my opinion, they're two Old Testament prophets that he has preserved for this very days of prophecy and preaching. And so he puts them out there. And not only that, an angel. Do you understand something? Jesus didn't die for the angels. But in Revelation, I believe, 14:6, we saw that an angel's special job, as far as I can tell, Brother Jim, as I look through Scripture, never before has an angel preached the gospel. This one angel, his job, can you imagine the fervor of the message from that angel? Who's been in eternity with God and seen the glory and seen the love and the passion of His message. I can't imagine. I mean, every message I preach, I want to nail home Jesus. But He's been with Him. And He's going to preach. And then for all the elect, talking about the nation, the chosen of God will make this covenant. Once again, can you imagine that the midst of that 3.5 years, this is when mercy runs into God's judgment, God's wrath. I mean, it beats. And even in the midst of this, he said, if it wasn't just for the mercy of it, if it wasn't for God shortening the days, not even the elect would be saved. Not even. Oh, man. There's so much left and I can't. Oh. I think we'll have to stop there tonight, because if I get into this next section, because we're going to go back and we're going to look at some of the names in the Old Testament of what this great day of tribulation is called in different books of the Bible. Let's stand to our feet. Perhaps there's somebody here that through the message has been wondering, wow, I've got lost loved ones. Man, I've got friends. Brother Ray, come on, let's play. Maybe somebody needs to come and pray. And as we see the links that God goes through to get to see people saved. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish. Tonight, if you're lost, if you just need to pray, let's come to the altar.